I am so glad to be back. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and I am host of Radio Entrepreneurs. I know some must be questioning if I'm still a host. Been traveling around the country, working with entrepreneurs, and been very busy, but glad to be back in my chair, back in the studio. And if I'm going to be back, who better to be back with than Walter Sullivan, the marijuana king?
Jeffrey, I'm sorry I didn't bring you a blunt. I'll bring you some samples next week.
I don't know if I can handle it. But Walter, you know, there's a lot going on. July the 1st is now quickly approaching. The laws are changing. Please give our listeners an update.
You know, Jeffrey, it's been a very exciting time. We have Jeff Sessions going all over the place.
Right.
U.S. Attorney in Massachusetts saying he's not guaranteeing, he's not going to prosecute or prosecute someone for dealing in medical marijuana or recreational marijuana. As of April 1st this year, the Cannabis Control Commission will kick off accepting applications for both cultivation licenses, manufacturing license, and recreational marijuana licenses. Where better can you go but hang out in Harvard Square and have a joint? It's going to be an exciting time. Those applications will go through the process, and in July 1, the commission plans on issuing their first licenses. Question we have, will there be enough stuff available for the supply?
To supply the demand.
That's a big issue, and I don't think we're going to have enough.
Really?
It takes 5 months to build out a cultivation facility and another 5 months to grow your first round of crop. It'll be interesting to see how it happens. I think they'll be looking at taking the medical marijuana dispensaries, we have 22 open now, and finding some way of using their cultivation facilities to feed the supply.
What other obstacles are we facing other than building facilities, supply and demand? I assume the banking is going to be part of this whole thing, licensing, but there must be a lot of things. There's a whole chain, isn't there?
Well, I think what you find with Sessions' last comments over getting rid of the memorandum that allowed banks to take funds in as long as they met certain requirements caused the problem. What you end up seeing is that money only works when it's entered into the economy. So now if people are stuffing money in their mattresses in order to run their marijuana business, or a lockbox, whatever, you know, it really doesn't work for the economy. We have 29 states that have legalized medical marijuana. It's not going backwards. I think it's time that the federal government step up and at a minimum say if states have legalized systems that they can believe in, let the banks take the funds in. I think that's the only way our economy grows. You have a president that's looking for funds to build a wall for infrastructure. Where is he going to get the funds to do this? This industry is an amazing industry that can produce an amazing amount of revenues, create jobs that are truly needed in this country. I think that's the time we need to move forward, is really get the federal government involved.
Well, let me take this down an entrepreneurial route, if you don't mind, and I don't know if you have the answer to this, but I've been thinking about this in the idle moments of my mind. It started with athletes. You know, most of the leagues ban marijuana and do regular drug testing, and I'm wondering if they're going to have to change their rules or do they not have to change the rules. And I'm looking at just regular companies that have in the personnel manual and they're doing regular drug testing as well. Now, if marijuana is legalized, does everyone have to redo their personnel manual, or are you still, as a company, can you still keep that as a policy?
Well, I think you find a couple of things. One, I'm an employment lawyer as well, and advise clients that, especially on the medical side, if someone needs medical marijuana in order as a result of a disability, you really can't terminate them just because they test positive for marijuana. They can produce their card and show that they have that their reasonable accommodation to allow them to smoke. That doesn't mean that they should come to work high or anything like that. It just means you have to give an accommodation.
But drug testing, it stays in your system for a while.
Oh, a long time, 30 days.
So if you're doing it, let's say for medical reasons at night or on the weekends, it's still going to be in your blood a few days later.
I find a number of clients, and it's actually twofold. One, stop testing for marijuana being in someone's system, and it's twofold. One, if they test everybody, they may not find an employee that they can hire. and that's not a good thing. And two, because of the medical marijuana laws. What are you doing here? It's just, it's not worth the time.
I actually think it could increase Chris's productivity.
Anything can increase Chris's productivity. But
you know what I was saying, if it's written into the personnel manual that they're doing drug testing, which I know a lot of manufacturers have it in their policies, Are they going to have to change those manuals?
We have been writing others now that taking marijuana out of the drug testing.
So you are going to have to rewrite the manuals.
Right. I think that's what you see. And I think, as I said, one, because where you're going to find your employees, and two, because of the reasonable accommodation. None of this means whether you're using some type of prescription drug or anything, you cannot come to work impaired under any type of narcotic.
Well, again, I'm just trying to understand it, and I like being stupid because I think I represent.
You're far from stupid.
I like being like other employees. Let's say I have a small distribution company. I have 25 drivers, you know, taking my stuff out. I'm not going to want my drivers driving with that in their system, but that's, I can't just do it to my drivers and not to my office workers.
Well, and this will not, no, that's not true.
Oh,
so
good.
I think because what you see is the difference between the driver and the receptionist.
Right.
Is the driver has to go through CDM licensing and so forth and federal requirements.
Right.
So you can develop a different process and say, look, we have an undue hardship relative to not testing drivers. There's federal requirements for drug testing and so forth.
Right.
Versus for a receptionist, you don't have those same issues as an employer. So you can draw different lines.
So you can draw the different lines. Well, that's good to know. And I think some employers must be wondering about that.
I think a lot of employers are wondering as moving forward is, what do we do? You know, we're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't.
Is this going to change, do you think, insurance costs for companies as well? Because again, I'm looking at it as an entrepreneur, and the trickle-down effect are, you know, I guess employees are not going to have to say that they're marijuana smokers, but I think insurance companies may be a little bit hesitant, wouldn't you think?
Well, I think that's actually raised a really good point. How does the insurance company...
I think Alex gave it to me. It couldn't be my idea.
I mean, how does insurance companies deal with this issue?
Right.
I think you only can really see that because you can't ask questions to HIPAA.
Can't test.
So what do you do as an insurance company? We passed in Massachusetts a number of years ago that you can't test someone's DNA for both, you know, likelihood of having carpal tunnel or so forth. And it really aimed at insurance companies too, because that can change their risk analysis. And I think the same thing is true here, is that medical marijuana does make a difference in people's lives. It's allowed in 29 states. As long as the person's not showing up to work impaired, there shouldn't be an issue. Part of the issue could have to be, okay, well, when do they, you know, you can't smoke marijuana or use marijuana in public. How do you deal with that question if someone needs to use marijuana during the workday? What I find is amazing, some of my friends I talk to in the old days when we talk, oh, let's go out and do a bone. Now you hear people saying, oh, let's go out and medicate.
Well, I'm going to go at it in a different way. If I can, I'm going to continue to freely associate. I've heard stories about condominium complexes where certain people have marijuana and they're smoking it at night for medicinal reasons, but you can smell it through that whole floor. Now, some people have asthma. Some people don't appreciate the smell. What are you going to do about that? I mean, I assume that smoking laws prevail when it comes to that within a facility of multiple residences.
Well, you deal with is it public or private area?
But you're not supposed to be smoking cigarettes always in a condominium because it's considered, it affects other people. There's now laws around secondhand and thirdhand smoke.
But if you're doing it in your own unit, I mean, the difference between smoking cigarettes versus smoking marijuana, as what you said, it's not necessarily the smoke itself. It's the smell that you're getting from it that are bothering people. So you can smoke in your own apartment. The question
is, you can't smoke cigarettes, but you can smoke marijuana.
No, you can't smoke marijuana. You can smoke cigarettes in your own apartment.
No, some of them you can.
Oh, the associations are. Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
If you can't smoke cigarettes, why can you smoke marijuana? And there are some newer federal and state laws around cigarette smoking in buildings.
So under the law, it says you can't smoke marijuana any place that you can't smoke cigarettes.
Oh.
So that kind of I see what you're getting to. This comes up to issues on federal subsidized housing, where property owners own land that are subsidized by the federal government, where it's federally illegal to use marijuana.
So what do you do?
If you're taking it
for medical reasons, what do you do? Go to your car, sit in your car, and smoke?
Well, it's don't ask, don't tell. I mean, it just creates an issue,
right?
Because if the property owner knows and does nothing about it, he's in violation of his contract with HUD.
Right. Interesting. The whole thing, I think, is going to bring up other implications. That's what I'm saying. And, you are going to be coming back and talking to us again. But if someone wants to find you, Walter, because you are the king of pot, please.
My wife loves that idea.
I'm not talking about your physical condition. Please tell us how to find you.
You can reach me at wsullivan@preti, preti.com. Or you can call my cell. I'm always available, 617-834-2955.
Or just go up to the Radio Entrepreneurs YouTube and look for Walter Sullivan. You will find him all over the place because he is a frequent flyer with us.
Jeffrey, it's a pleasure being with you today.
You notice there's a change when I'm back.
Very much so.
My name is Jeffrey Davis, also chairman and board founder of Mage LLC. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this short break.